We are continuing our series today. We have been looking over the last few weeks at this profound but simple truth that God is still with us. Somebody say that. God still with us. The promise of Emmanuel, which means God with us, is not just something that happened, it is something that is happening. It is a promise that is being fulfilled, even right here, right now. We looked over the last few weeks at how God is still with us in the waiting, how he's with us in the fear. And then last week, we looked at how God is still with us even in the brokenness. We went back to Genesis chapter 3 and the moment where sin entered the world and brokenness entered into the human story. And we saw what was lost and we acknowledged what we all feel. Now, if you're here today, you may not know exactly what you believe, or maybe you're here and you're exploring the claims of Christ. I want you to know you're in the right place. We're so glad that you are here. But regardless of what you may believe, this is something that we all feel, that there is brokenness. Brokenness inside us, and many times brokenness all around us, in the world around us. But the Christmas story, the reason it is such good news is because God would not allow brokenness to be the end of the story. So what did he do? He placed himself in the story. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The baby was born to a virgin, laid in a manger. But today, I want us to look beyond Bethlehem for just a moment. To look beyond Bethlehem because the Christmas story is not just about the baby who came, but the King who is coming again. In other words, the presence of Jesus isn't seasonal, it's eternal. This is really good news, especially if you are walking through these holidays with kind of a mix of emotions, which many of us are. It's just kind of the way the holidays are. Whatever is already there tends to be magnified. Some of you, you may be feeling just pure joy. I know people who are getting married during this season, or they just had babies, and there's just this joy. And then others who have lost people in this season. So it's just this mix of joy and grief and nostalgia and loss, or maybe you've had a full season. You know, this Christmas season in the month of December, maybe you have had a full calendar, you've gone to Christmas parties, you've been in rooms with lots of people, and yet you come home and you're reminded of the empty chair. That can be the holidays. And it leaves us with this question, the quiet question, the one that we don't always ask out loud, but where's all this going? Like, where's this story headed? I know what I feel right now in this moment, but where's this all going? Is there hope in the end? Jesus' disciples had the same questions. And so Jesus would speak to his disciples. We're going to see, if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to open to John chapter 14. We're going to begin in verse 1, where he is speaking to his disciples who are looking for some answers. Jesus, opening in verse 1, says this: "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." So let's just stop there for just a moment. Who's he talking to? He's talking to people whose hearts are troubled. He's not talking to a group of people who feel like they have it all together. He's talking to a group of people who are waiting, who are experiencing fear, who are experiencing that sense of brokenness. And into that, he continues to speak this to them: "My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I am going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will," here's the promise, "I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be," where? "Where I am." Interesting that Jesus, as he's speaking to these troubled disciples, and they're wondering, "Jesus, where is this all going? Where's the story going?" And he begins to point them to eternity. He begins to point them to what is to come. But as he does that, he doesn't focus so much on where we'll be. I know a lot of times we kind of focus on that, but his focus is not where we'll be as much as it is who we'll be with. You see, for Jesus, heaven is not so much a place, but a presence. Yes, he has gone to prepare a place, but why? So that you may be where I am. Why this focus on presence? It's because that's what was lost in Genesis chapter 3. It's because the greatest need in the human heart is not a change of address. It is a restored relationship with God. Jesus knows where this story is headed. He's comforting his disciples in this. Do not let your hearts be troubled in my Father's house. Notice this language that Jesus is starting to use. In my Father's house, in my Father's home. And he's making sure that we understand that home is being with him. Heaven, in Jesus' words, is being with him. It's not so much a where, but it's with whom we'll be with. Interesting that Jesus places that focus there. We see the home language all throughout Scripture. But I want us to turn to Revelation 21. It's in the back of your Bible there. It's still John, and John's still the one writing, but he begins to paint this picture of home. He says, and this is the vision that he was given. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. John goes on to say, I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. And he will, what? Dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Here it is again, this home language, dwelling. Look, God's dwelling place. The Greek word here is skene. It is, maybe in your version it says tabernacle of God. It's something that we go back and we see God tabernacling with his people, making his home, his habitation among the people. Later he would do this in the temple. But when Jesus comes and breaks through and sends the Spirit, now he is taking up residence within each and every believer, making his home within us. John goes on to paint this picture that God is dwelling. But what is he doing as he makes his home among his people? He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who is seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. So if this is where our story is headed, if this is where God's redemptive story is headed, then that can change things. That can change everything for everyone right now. Here's some things that it would change. Just as an example, if this is where the story is headed, then your suffering is not the final word. It has an expiration date. In this life or in the next, your grief is not wasted. You may be grieving, but as Paul would say, you don't grieve without hope. Your faithfulness matters. And then this one, your longing for something more is not misplaced. Have you ever felt a longing for more? Maybe you didn't even know how to explain it. You just have this heartache. And you don't even know necessarily where it comes from, but there is a longing for more. Have you ever felt just out of place in this world? Like you don't quite fit. Even when times are good, there's still this longing for something else. We used to sing a song growing up. This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Why is it that sometimes we just don't even feel comfortable in our own skin? Listen, it's not because God made a mistake when he created you. And it's not because you need to go out there and find your truest self within yourself. No, the reason you feel that longing is because you are longing for home. You may not even realize it, but that is the ache in every human heart. That is the longing for home. That's what was lost in Genesis chapter 3. It wasn't just a perfect place. It was closeness. It was relationship. Sin enters the world and it separates us. And we're longing for home and we're not home yet. Paul would actually say it like this. He would say we're citizens of another kingdom. He would say we are citizens of heaven where the Lord Jesus Christ lives. And we are what? Eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak mortal bodies and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. When Jesus enters into our world, when that baby is born, the kingdom of God had broken through, but the coming of the kingdom, it's not done yet. The coming of the kingdom is not finished yet. The Holy Spirit is still working in and through every believer. We're not home yet. In fact, you might say that we live in the in-between. You and I, we live in the in-between. We live in between brokenness and wholeness. We live in between sickness and healing, between funerals and resurrection. Between waiting and the arrival of our King. In essence, we live in between homesickness and home. We're in the in-between. Now, you may be here today and you may be grieving, or you may be here filled with joy. But regardless of where you are, the thing that we all have in common is that we have a God. And his story, the outcome of his story, it's already determined. It's already decided. In the end, God's team wins. No matter what we experience right here and right now, we know the end of this story. Landon and I, we have been a part of this flag football team for the last few weeks. With some of our young adults, I'm not a young adult, if you didn't notice. I realized that I think I was the only person on the team born in the 1900s. So I invited JD to come join us so that I'd have somebody else there with me. We have a lot of fun. We take our flag football very seriously. A couple weeks ago, we got there an hour early. All the guys, they get together and they're over there strategizing about the game. I'm over here stretching so that I don't pull a hammy. I stretch a lot. And we play on Saturdays. I'm just doing good just to not limp up here like every Sunday. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. A couple weeks ago, we were about to begin the game and our captain walks up and says, "Hey, the other team doesn't have enough players, so today's a win. Have fun." And we did. In fact, the other team didn't have enough players, so they had to recruit the guy who was the referee to play on their team. We played their team and the referee, and we didn't even care. Why? Because the outcome of the game was already determined. It was already decided. Now, we still played the game. We still competed. We still ran hard. We still ran the plays. And we didn't like it when they scored. We didn't like it when through an interception. But because the outcome of the game had already been determined, we played free. Now, I'm seeing a lot of people in the Christian faith riddled with anxiety because they're constantly watching the wins and losses on the scoreboard. It's up and it's down. It's up and it's down. Well, I was pretty good today, or I wasn't as bad as them, or am I good enough? And it's just this, they're up and down, and it just brings this anxiety because it's as if we're living for victory. Somebody, please hear me. The victory is already won. You are not working for victory. You're working from victory. This is the power of the hope of Jesus. This is the power of the Christian hope. It does not make us passive. We don't just sit on the sideline and say, well, the outcome, you know, is already done. It doesn't make us passive. It makes us free. Jesus, he talked about this freedom. He prayed for this freedom. In fact, he taught us to pray this way. He said, say this with me, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You see, walking toward eternity, taking steps toward eternity, is not about escaping from earth. It's about bringing more of heaven to earth. Every time you serve someone, serve the least of these, you're bringing heaven to earth. When you give, you're bringing heaven to earth. When you sing songs and you praise him, you are bringing heaven to earth. This is the call of our lives. Listen, we don't just disengage from culture or withdraw from culture. We don't go hide in a corner and sing another verse of I'll Fly Away. No. We courageously engage culture with the hope of Jesus where we live, work, learn, and play. Why? Because we know how this story ends. We know the outcome has already been determined. This has been our vision at Oak Hills Church. Why? Because this is the vision that Jesus prayed for. We already know how the story ends. And it ends with this, God still with us, say it with me, for eternity. This isn't some temporary grace, it's an eternal one. And you do not have to know all the details about the story. You do not have to have everything figured out. You've got questions. You don't have to have all your questions answered. You don't have to have everything figured out. You just have to be willing. You just have to be willing to come home. That's the invitation. Jesus didn't say, go figure it out. He said, come to me and I will give you rest. The Christmas story is reminding us that Jesus is saying, come follow me. I know the way home. All throughout Scripture, where is this story heading? From creation to the fall in Genesis 3, to the redemption, to the restoration. You and I, we get to choose. That's God's story. That is what he is going to do. It's already as good as done. The question is that your story? I want to encourage you today to make the decision to align your story with his. Be a part of the restoration that's taking place in our world today, where the kingdom is breaking in, where light is breaking in. He is inviting you to be a part of that. But it is a decision. It is a choice that you get to make. Listen, heaven is not for everyone. You need to hear that. But you also need to hear this. Heaven is for anyone who will choose in advance in this life to give Jesus their life. That means to put your trust in him. Trust him for what? Trust him to show you the way home. To understand that because of our sin, we're separated from God. And because of that, we can't find our way home. We cannot save ourselves. There's no way that we can find our way home. That's why he came. That's why he gave his life on a cross and bled and died And it's why, seated on the right hand of God, after on the third day, he rose again, defeating death, and seated at the right hand of God, he is inviting. He's preparing a place. Why? So that you may be where he is. What an invitation. If you're carrying grief, if you're carrying brokenness, if you're carrying fear, or you're just in that place and waiting, this is your invitation. Will you receive it? As the song says, receive your King. If you have not received him, you can do that right now. We are going to pray together. There's no magic in the words that we're going to pray, but it's all about a heart. And if this is resonating with you, that's his invitation. And I pray that you'll receive it. We're going to pray together, and then after we do that, if this is the first time or the first time in a long time that you are giving your life to him, I want to invite you to stand. We want to cheer you on. All of heaven's already applauding the decision that you're making because all of heaven knows how great your future is. The angels long to look into these things. I pray that you'll make that decision today. Let's pray together. If you'll repeat after me, Jesus, I am not perfect, for I have sinned, but I believe in you. Save me, change me, forgive me. I give you my life. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.